The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We've got nobody waiting right now. I want to hear from you. By the way, I'll be teaching my Bible study that I'm going through tonight, and we're going through Romans. We started last week. I'm going to try a new video look tonight, new setup. I practiced for an hour on it today. We'll see how that works. Hopefully it'll look even better. And that's it. So there you go. So I'll be teaching through, like I said, through Romans. We went through, I think, the first three or four verses of the book of Romans last week. And tonight we're going to probably go for another three or four verses. There's so many things in the book of Romans that a lot of people miss and don't understand the depth of that word that is there. There are so many good concepts, and I'll be going through it. Yeah, we did last week. We did Romans 1 through 3. And today, let's see. Today we'll be going, I think, 4 through 7, I think it is, or 4 through 5. There's a lot of concepts to teach for an hour. Wow. All right. Well, there you go. Hey, I want you to give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, you know, I don't do this very often, but I do need to start doing this more often, and that is just to let you know that we stay on the air by your support. If you like what you hear, if you want this ministry to stay on the air, please consider supporting us. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go to carm.org, carm.org, and /donate. And right there, that's all you got to do. And if you want to do, what we ask for is $5 a month, because we think $5 a month is pretty good, you know, if it's okay with you guys. $5 a month, and we hope to be able to continue to support the missionaries. You know, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of a lowdown how we're doing. We're supporting a guy in Turkey, and he is going through seminary. He will be here in the United States for a year or two, finishing up his degree, another year, I think it is. We've been supporting him now for a couple of years, and he speaks Turkish and English very well, and he speaks Russian. And so when he's done, what we hope is that he'll be able to work with us full-time to put more websites up in different languages so that we can reach out even more across the world. We have Carm is in Portuguese, and we have David Brito, and he's a great guy. He's down in Brazil. We have Carlos Garbiras, and he's in Bogota, Colombia, and he runs the Spanish version. We have the Spanish version, the Portuguese version of the website, and they have been working with us for years, so we support them. We have Luke Wayne, and he's a great guy. He filled in for me on Monday, and he's out there in the Salt Lake City area. He's a real blessing, you know. I don't know if he's listening or not, but even if he isn't, I'm going to still say this, because he is a blessing, and he's a godly man. I'm going to tell you something. I won't tell you what it was exactly, but we hired him because, at least for me, half of it was qualifications. He was qualified, and I think he's got more degrees than I do. And he was very qualified, and that was 50% of it, but the other 50% was character, and he displayed some really magnificent character in the interview process. And he won't give you the details, but it was quite evident. And so I said, you know, this guy's great. We can trust him. And so there we go. All right. And my wife works with us, too. She does a lot of she does the stuff I hate doing. I don't know how people do this, but they can sit there and do data entry and go into forms that, you know, from donations, from book sales, and she puts it into another program for all the the banking that we have to do. And she says she enjoys it. And me, give me 5 minutes of that, and you know, I'll just jump out the second-story window. So, hey, we have our giftings. Mine, apparently, is being obnoxious and irritating and being able to communicate. Last night, speaking of which, we had, what I do on Wednesday nights is teach on Clubhouse. And Clubhouse is something on the phone, and it's also Club Deck equivalent on the desktop. And so what I do is go in there on Wednesdays and teach and answer questions. And for 3.5 hours last night, that's what I was doing. I was just answering questions from people, and we had some good discussions. For the most part, it's pretty good. We got atheists who like to come in, ask questions, and then what they do, we know this, is they take excerpts and then try and make me look bad and Christianity look bad. They're pretty evil people. But and then they feign politeness and stuff like this to do this kind of thing. So we have that. We have some atheists are nice. We have we don't have any Mormons. You know, I don't talk to hardly Mormons at all ever. And let's see, we have a lot of Muslims who will talk, and I show them how the Quran is faulty, and they say things like, "You stupid man, you know nothing." And then we have these discussions. What else? We talked with Eastern Orthodox. A lot of Eastern Orthodox people are there, and they're trying very hard to convert people to the true church. That's what gets me. It's not to Jesus. It's to the true church. And that's always a sign of a bad group, a bad religion. And it's the true church. Our church is the true church. And salvation's found in our church, and not in Jesus, but in our church. Well, anyway, so that's a problem. We also encounter Roman Catholics and a lot of Hebrew Israelite individuals. So anyway, there you go. I do a lot of discussions, and I talk a great deal with varying people on different topics of all kinds of things. If you want to give me a call, we have nobody waiting. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And you know what? If nobody calls, which sometimes happens Thursdays and Fridays, I may just jump into a little bit of hate mail because I enjoy hate mail so much. And it's a lot of fun for me. We do it on Fridays normally, but every now and then I feel a little bit rambunctious, and I'll do it another day. But we do have callers coming in, so that's good. So if you do want to call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you, so give me a call. And remember, tonight, Bible study at 7 p.m. my time, which is 9 p.m., actually 7:30. People get here at 7, and we start at 7:30. That's just kind of how it evolved. So it's going to be 9:30 Eastern time. I know it's late, but we go for an hour. And going through Romans, I put the notes up online, so you can tune in, listen to me teach, and follow the notes exactly as I do, because I follow the same notes. I put them up on the web, and then I actually put them up on my computer screen from the web and go down, so you're seeing the very same thing. And that's what I do. Love to teach, you know, love to teach. All right, why don't we just get on the air? I'm going to get to Mark from Connecticut. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm busy. That's how I am. So what do you got, brother?
I want to know if you could elaborate on Matthew 8:17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and our diseases. He carried them away. So the context is, when he came to Peter's home, he saw the mother, his mother-in-law, lying sick in the bed with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. And this was to fulfill the prophecy. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So what he's talking about there is he's healing people. This is a significant verse because the positive confessionists will use this verse and others out of context. When they say, for example, that Jesus bore our sin in his body and that we're not to be sick or poor, and they don't understand that he fulfilled all this back in Matthew 8:17 before the atoning sacrifice. And so the point is that if they are going to say that the atonement of Christ is what brings us health and wealth. And then they say, he took our infirmities. He did this, because that's what was happening there, as he's quoting Isaiah 53. And they say, see, so through the atonement, we're supposed to be healed. But in Matthew 8, 17, it's fulfilled before the atonement. So how is it then that the atonement buys us health and wealth? And then that's the question, and that's a problem for them. So I'm familiar with this verse. But anyway, that's what's going on. He just healed them and was pointing it out, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
You too. You have a good day too. All right. So, hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Francis from North Carolina. Francis, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. What I wanted to ask about, I've never heard you speak on the Seventh-day Adventist, and I was wanting to know what you think about the Seventh-day Adventist and if you think we should be serving on Sunday or Saturday.
The Seventh-day Adventists, depending on the subdivision, is either a cult or not a cult. I would never recommend anybody go to the Seventh-day Adventist church. If you believe official SDA theology, I can't call you a Christian. And the reason is because they teach something called the investigative judgment, which is a bit of eschatological stuff that... You're making a lot of noise there. You're making a lot of noise. What do you got going on? Okay.
I'm sorry. I was crushing a water bottle.
Okay. Yeah, it really picks up on the microphone, just so you know. So the investigative judgment is what determines your salvation, when God investigates what you've done and what you haven't done in relation to him, et cetera, et cetera. And that's cult theology. So a lot of SDA don't affirm that. And so that's why I'm saying some groups no, some groups yes, they're bad or good. But official SDA theology is bad. And you can't trust can't trust them. All right?
Okay.
And you had one other question. I forget what it was, though.
Saturday or Sunday worship.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what day we worship on. You're free to worship on Saturday or Sunday. What they mistakenly do is they trust Ellen G. White, who has... She's the one who founded the SDA group. She's been proven to have been a plagiarist, which means that she stole other people's writings and claimed it for her own. This is theft. She's done that. She's made false prophecies and other things. And so, so Saturday or Sunday. So the Ten Commandments in Exodus 21 through 17, there are all of them except for one is reiterated in the New Testament. And the one that's not reiterated as being necessary is the Sabbath. In particular, when you go to Romans 14, this is what negates this whole idea of you have to worship on Saturday. Because it says, except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. And he goes on. He says, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. That's Romans 14:5. If we're supposed to worship on Saturday, why does Paul say, be convinced in your own mind about what day you worship on? Because if Saturday was obligatory, he wouldn't say that. All right? There you go.
I got you.
All right. God bless. You. You're welcome. Hey, folks, five open lines, wide open. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
From North Carolina, Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Well, I've got an odd question. I'm going through what I hope to be a season in my life right now.
All right.
I've been studying, I've been praying, I've been writing, you know, I've been really trying to work on my ministry, but I've gotten to the point in life over the last probably year that everywhere I look, it just seems like everything is pointless. We've completely fallen so far from what God said we need to do, what He designed this place for, that it just all seems pointless. So I didn't know if there was anything in the Bible that talks about how to get past that, because I'm having a hard time even enjoying a day.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're going through it. And the reason is because, in my opinion, it is a pruning process for you personally. The anointing that God gives people doesn't go away. Romans 11:29 talks about this. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And what He often does is He allows people He's using, who are writing, researching, evangelizing, do all this stuff, they see the futility of what's going on. And they can get discouraged. Just like Jeremiah, he was discouraged. But we have to realize that God's in control. Now, about you personally, so having been there and done this, we live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. So our job, your job, through the pruning process, is to look to Christ and not to the circumstances. If you look to the circumstances, that's your problem. That's what brings discouragement. And trust me, I understand that temptation, all right? I get it.
Right.
It's bad out there. So I'm not just saying, hey, you know, pointing a finger and I'm fine. No, I get it. But the thing is, what is your faith in? Is it in the results, or is it in the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ? He's the one who opens the heart and the mind.
My faith is completely in Christ.
Absolutely.
I run into an issue where I'm not losing faith in Christ. I'm tired of the world.
Yep. Welcome.
I'm ready to go home.
Okay. So let me ask you, how much does your cross weigh that you've been carrying now? It's getting a little heavier?
Yeah, I mean, every time I hear mm-hmm. something on the radio, a news story, mm-hmm. I run into people at the grocery store, and it's mm-hmm. completely and totally depressing and heartbreaking, everything I mm-hmm. run into.
Hey, if you want to really get depressed, just follow me on the internet and listen to me talk to people who are lost, who hate God, who desire
to...
Okay. So, here's what you do. No, I got you, Matt. What you got to do is this. You just got to trust God and don't look to your circumstances and say, God, I'm tired. The cross is heavy. Please use me anyway, even through my discouragement. I'm an instrument in your hands. Speak to me, and during this time, prune me, shape me, and change me. That's what you got to do.
How do you enjoy a day?
I don't worry about enjoying a day.
When you wake up in the morning and you look at everything, you go, okay, time to go to work, got to pay these bills, and you realize, I'm paying all these bills, but all of it's going to go away anyway. What is the point? The
point is you do what God's ordained for you. The point is you do what God ordained for you to do where you're at. As Paul said, I've learned to be content in plenty and in want. And in the scope of our lives, when you get up and everything's the same and it's mundane and it's almost completely pointless to continue, that's when you move by faith. And you say, Lord, I trust you beyond my ability to understand. And so I will serve you even when I think it's pointless or I feel it is, and let your word go forth in truth. And just use me. And then you drudge forward into the storm. That's what you do.
All right, well, I appreciate it.
It's what it is, man. It's what it is.
Hey, I understand. It's what I've been doing for about a year now, just like, all right. Yeah.
Good. Well, you see, in all seriousness, I'm actually encouraged to hear you say that. I don't know if we've talked before. I know several Ryans, but what you're going through, in my opinion, is a wonderful thing. In that, or potentially it is, in that God is allowing you to be stripped, because it's an issue of purification and dedication to Him, so that you'll be used for greater things later on. That's often how
Yeah, I think I messed it up. I messed up and I prayed a prayer and said, Lord, let me see what you see. Let me feel what you feel. Just give me a piece of what it is you're going through and help me to
do something.
Try to fix something. I asked for it, and now I'm just like, this is horrible.
Yep. And what does God do anyway? He continues to love us, even when we hate him. So that's what your job is, to continue to love God and your neighbor, and that's it. And you do what you got to do when you don't even feel like it. Sometimes you just need a break, you know, and it's just too much. You got to take a vacation. I get it, and that's fine. But keep your eyes on him. I've been through this, man. I'm 65, and I've been doing the apologetics for 42 years. You know, five-year desert time I had. And there's times when it's like, what is going on? What's the point? And I just, by faith, continue. Because that's the point. It's not me. It's the power of God's Word and the person of Christ. And you just never know. And so we're not here to be encouraged, so to speak. You know, but God does. But we're here to serve him. And sometimes he calls people to serve when it's difficult. And it sounds to me like you're being stripped.
Jeremiah.
You're being molded and changed.
Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Ministries of faith, not ministries of results.
That's right.
Okay.
Our ministry is ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're serving him. Okay.
All right, so, man. Well, I appreciate it, man.
Well, that's what it is. That's what it is, okay. And
if you just get some extra time, do you know that five red heifers showed up in Israel today?
Any red heifers?
Five red heifers were shipped to it. Yeah, they showed up in Israel this afternoon.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, I do know they have
red heifers without blemish.
Oh, my goodness. That's highly significant. I also know that they have the ashes of the red heifer from ancient time. The continuation of the sacrifice. Uh-huh. Yep.
I didn't know and they had that.
Huh. Continuation of the sacrifice is there. They just need the temple, which can be built where archaeologically it can be built because the Dome of the Rock is in the court of the Gentiles, archaeologically.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's no way that the threshing floor of the threshing floor of Unan would be where the Dome of the Rock was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. So
yeah,
that's I thought that might be something for you to look at.
There's so much happening. It's coming. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
All right, buddy. Okay, God bless.
Hey,
folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're at the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Lynn from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air. Hi, Lynn.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm testing. Hi, good evening. Calling from Raleigh, and I wanted to. It reminded me of the gentleman that just called in. It gets a little rough, but God gives me incredible strength and peace. Even going through some medical things, my friend was diagnosed with cancer. It's been off the hook, and I'm also 65. I was out there for 50 years without going into too much detail. I have friends that listen, but they already know. But I was way out there, and God rescued me, literally. And I've never felt his power so much. I've never felt this much, even though I'm going through that stuff. And I'm always telling people, Psalm 91, you know, and telling of the goodness of the Lord. But now, he's been giving me the strength that I've been trying to, you know, encouraging others with. It just blows my mind. But I just wanted to call and tell the gentleman, stay strong. all of you out there, stay strong, because this is a race that we will win. Christ in us is our strength. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, no matter what. And he loves
us. That's right.
The creator of the universe. So I'm on fire for these days, thank God. Finally, I couldn't get, when I was out there using, you'll say, what's wrong? Because I was crying at the time. And I said, I can't get there from here, man. I can't get there from here.
Do you have a question or anything?
No, I just wanted to comment.
Okay.
You know, I just wanted to say something, you know, to, you know, kind of encourage and build them up, because yeah, it's just stay strong. He will give you peace and strength. And that's all. That's all we got.
Well, praise God. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you for what you do, Matt. Listen to you every day.
Good.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thanks a lot, Lynn. All right.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Hey, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Joe from North Carolina. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Yeah, that's what I always say. So, yeah, to that caller and to the earlier one, you know, they're in good. He's in good company with Solomon in Ecclesiastes, going through a lot of the same thing, that, you know, the dichotomy between the spirit and the flesh is, it's a never-ending battle, and it's hard to live it out, but it's mm-hmm. just the way it is here. You know, we're not home, as they say.
Right.
My it wasn't a question. I just wanted I wanted to find out what your take on Reformed theology and predestination is, and how you reconcile, if you do go along those lines, and how you reconcile the aspect of free will. I can just hang up if you just want to talk about it, or I can stay on.
You can stay on if you want. But no, I affirm a Reformed theology, and I've been defending it roughly since 1990-91. And I know a great deal about it, and have been defending it for, like I said, a long time. Predestination is absolutely biblical. It's taught in scriptures. People will often deny it, but to my surprise, why do you deny it? It's right there in scripture. You know, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11, we're predestined. Ephesians 1:4 and 5. I mean, it's what it says. Okay, there's other verses.
Yeah. And
so,
even just logically speaking, I mean, if you would just make the statement that God knows everything, then, and so he knows present, past, and future, and then creates you with a future, then it doesn't make sense to say that he doesn't know what that future is, and that he didn't have something to do with it. So I my wife even, and my daughter, we're all Christians, and my son's not a Christian. But
is there a noise? There's noise in the background. Is there some noise in the background?
I'm driving my truck, and I'm using my Bluetooth. So I listen to the radio constantly. I drive around a lot, and I miss R.C. Sproul, even though he still have him on a lot. And I listen to, you know, MacArthur and a few others. I agree with Reformed theology.
Good.
And not only that, but, you know, John Calvin and others. But basically, I'm going to pull over here. So is that better?
It just, sometimes I wonder about people driving and listening, and they hear a noise coming up out of the radio that might be different, and they might be distracted and pay attention to their car and say, what is that noise? Because it sounds like a noise that might be an automobile. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But no big deal.
I turned off the radio.
Okay.
Well, I turned off the radio because I know it might feed back.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know what your views are on that. And like, you know, maybe what I'm really kind of asking is, you know, I mean, I know the Bible fairly well, and I try just to speak in a logical way, because I don't think there is any, you know, specific. There are specific scriptures, but I think the problem is they don't. It's the evangelical, part of it. It's the, you know, the they don't understand how someone can come to Christ without making the choice to come. And that,
but they do. But here's the thing.
The hard thing to understand.
God enables them to freely choose. He grants that they believe, Philippians 1:29. He causes them to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3. So Jesus had free will, and he could only do what he saw the Father do. And you go to John 5:19, John 5:30 to talk about this and to see what Christ said. Yet he had free will, but he was predestined by the Father. So predestination and human free will are compatible because it's right there in the person of Christ. So it's not at
heart. And I feel like I see that.
Okay.
It is for some people.
Well,
some people just cannot make the connection.
It is when
And even my wife and my daughter, I mean, and they're intelligent, educated people. They just can't make the connection. And I even tell them, I even go, it's even, you know, it's actually, if you think about it, it's very comforting to know that God, you know, chose you and predestined you and gave you the ability to believe in him, you know, because he even says you can't even believe in him without his help. And I try to explain that, but they just can't. It's like there's this disconnect.
You need to teach them total depravity. So, and they, once they understand it, then they can see why Jesus had to do what he did. Okay?
Okay, well, I'll keep praying and keep going in that direction. I just wanted to know what your take on it was. And I appreciate your ministry. And it takes a lot of courage and, you know, to do what you're doing. And it's very needed to the other person's call. You know, I think it is getting increasingly, you know, harder to live here from my point of view. And I'm constantly having to kind of watch the hate I have in my heart for some of the things I see in here. But anyway, I'm praying
wrong.
For you.
Thanks There's for nothing your ministry. Wrong. Hold on. There's nothing wrong with hating unrighteousness. I know what's going on in our government and how our leaders are working against the people and how they're releasing criminals, allowing inflation to go, opening the border, and I hate what they are doing. I hate it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I can see it. And it's really interesting how people talk about conspiracies and then they completely overlook the fact that it is a conspiracy. It's a satanic conspiracy.
Yes,
and these people don't even know they're part of it. They don't even know that they're working for Satan. And,
yeah,
and that's the thing.
Correct.
You could say, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it is a conspiracy because it has every earmark of conspiracy, except the people involved don't know who the leader is. They're just kind of doing it and don't understand why. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless. All right. Let's see. Let's get on the air with Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. I'm curious about, this is a question about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. A while ago, a couple months ago, I was laying on my couch, and I looked up to the left, and honestly, I swear it was some kind of a demon. And it was the most coldest, worst feeling, you know? Do you think that's real?
I don't know if you're...
I don't know if it's real.
I don't know if your situation was real, but not, because I wasn't there. But I do believe these things do occur. Absolutely. So it's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Hold on, because we've got a break, okay? Hey, folks, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the last segment of the hour. Let's get on the phone with Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You still there?
Yes, sir, Matt. Yeah, Matt, it gave me a bad feeling, but I feel like, in a way, the Lord allows that to happen to keep you leaning on Him.
Absolutely.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, because I know I got to pray and pray not to see their faces. I really pray and, you know, get in the Word and things like that.
Well, you're not the only one I've talked to who has said they've seen things in their homes. In fact, here at the house, 10 years or so ago, two of my daughters said they were seeing things. And once, you know, one daughter once, whatever. But they started saying, no, we're seeing something. And I said, okay, all right. And it went on for a couple of months. So I asked my wife to take them to a movie or whatever it was. And I anointed the entire house. I prayed over every wall, every door, every window, everything. Anointed the entire house with oil. And not saying that's a magic thing and it worked, but we didn't have any problems afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to think of that. I will do that. What kind of oil, Matt?
It doesn't matter.
Olive oil? Or?
Yeah, just whatever.
Okay.
I just used oil and very, very, very lightly touched the tip of my finger with it so it wouldn't leave marks. It's not
right.
The oil. It's the ceremony. It's the issue of going through and trusting Christ and being verbal about
right.
it. And you know, and they specifically said that they saw a figure in a hall. It was a dark figure. And then at the same time, you know, within the next few weeks, there was one of their friends came over. And said there was something outside the house. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, you start hearing this stuff. You go, okay. You know, people are saying it without being prompted, saying the same kind of a thing. Something's up. And so, you know, just prayed through it. That's all. Okay?
All right. I got you.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. God bless. Hey, let's get on the phone with Alberto from Havana, Georgia. I think it is. Yeah.
Yes,
welcome.
Sir. It's me.
All right.
Good evening, Matt Slick. Yes, my question is, some pastors say that when Adam and Eve fell in sin, mm-hmm. and then if God didn't prevent them from eating the tree of life, they would have been locked in a fallen condition forever. But to me, that's not true, because when they already fallen in a fallen condition, they're going to live eternally anyway, in eternal existence. Now, the tree of life is eternal. It's a quality of life. So for me, even if they didn't eat of the tree, if they did try to eat of the tree of life, according to some passage, they'd be locked in a fallen condition. But they already are in a fallen condition. If they didn't eat, they'd still going to sleep forever in a fallen condition, and regardless if they didn't eat the tree of life.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. So that's my question. If it's true that if Adam and Eve would have ate from the tree of life, if God didn't prevent, they would have been locked in a fallen condition forever.
That's the implication. And if they had, the implication is that they would have stayed in that state forever. And so God guarded it so they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the theories.
Yeah, but right now, mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah, but right now, sinners the right now who die without Christ, they live forever in eternal existence, not a quality of life, but in a fallen condition anyway. They live forever. Every human being that God creates is are eternal. Our souls are eternal, regardless. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're still going to fall, huh? Live forever, regardless. But not with quality of life. Eternal life is the quality of God's life.
Well, okay, that's just, I'm just telling you, that's the theory about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let me one more question. You just mentioned just now about the spirit inside the house, and you put anointing every door, every mm-hmm. window. Me, mm-hmm. if I'm going to buy a house and I've never been there before and never know what happened in the house, I just plug a harp in the radio, plug it, turn the lights on, have electricity, call the electric company, then I'll plug a radio and turn it to a Christian radio station and let it run all night long, all day, because the gospel preaching, the power of the Word of God, all the spirits have to fly away out of that house anyway, for the Word of God, preaching of the Word of God.
Well, that's a good idea to have Christian. It's a good idea to have Christian music on. If I were to buy another house and it was used, because ours was brand new, but if it was used, I would go through and anoint every room, every door, everything. I'd go through and I'd do that and say, "This house is dedicated for the service of God." So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, no problem.
But both will work. Preaching.
What's that?
Plug a radio with preaching the gospel 24 hours a day. Leave it there plugged in.
If you want.
Right?
Yeah. If you want. All right?
All right.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Alberto. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Okay. We have 4 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Mario, Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you, brother. Thanks. Yeah, I have a question which can get complicated, but I'll try to make it simple. I'm just trying to get a better idea about how many spirits a human being has. I know it is my understanding that whenever a human being is born, he's dead spiritually, right?
Okay, well, hold on. When you say how many spirits, do you mean as in spiritual beings like angels? Do you mean our nature, which is spirit, which is not corporeal? So I don't understand what you mean by spirit.
Yeah, like our nature. I'm not sure if whenever we are born with spirit, or is the spirit dead and separated from God, and then we must be born again.
Hold on. So there are different views about what we are. One's called trichotomy and one's called dichotomy. Trichotomy is the view that the body, soul, and spirit make up a human. Dichotomy says that the soul and spirit are basically the same thing. So one view is that our spirit is in the form of a soul. Another view is that our soul is in the form of spirit. Now, I don't know what the right answer is, but the soul is the thing of what we are. Now, Jesus says a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see he has, you know, in Luke 24, 45, I think it was. And so it looks like the spirit is that non-corporeal part of what a soul is. It would seem to be that. So we have one spirit or one soul, depending how the word is used, and that's it. Okay?
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand. So whenever we are born again, so you have two spirits? You have your spirit as a human being, and then the spirit of God?
You are one spirit, and then God lives in you. You are still one spirit, but the Lord God will live in you, makes his abode in you, John 14:23. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. God bless you, brother.
Okay, brother. God bless. All right. Folks, if you want to give me a call, we have wide open lines, 877-207-2276. Christians are, well, people are, you know, they have human bodies, but they're also this incorporeal. This means a spiritual kind of thing that doesn't have weight or mass. You can't put diapers on it. You can't put chains on it. You know, you can't do that. That's what a physical body can do too. So the spirit is that part of what we are. As I said before, we don't know if it's spirit or soul, spirit, whatever. But the soul is what we are as self-aware identity. And it seems to be that the soul has a spirit form. And even though the Bible does not tell us what spirit is, it tells us what spirit is not. And let's see, I'm going to find the exact verse. And it says, spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. That's Luke 24:39. There we go. And so Jesus appeared to the disciples, and they thought it was a ghost of some sort. And he said, see my hands and my feet. That is, I myself touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Now, what he was talking about there was a spirit as in a disembodied, self-aware being, like an angel, or a human spirit that is no longer in the body. We can continue on like that. You can go to 2 Corinthians 12:2-3, or 2-4, for that, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. And so it seems to be that's what he's talking about there. But he notice what he says, that spirit, that thing, does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Incidentally, notice that Jesus does not say flesh and blood, as you see I have. He says flesh and bones, because his blood was sacrificed out, drained out on the cross. And so he's resurrected flesh and bones. This is a small but significant point, because the blood is that which cleanses us, 1 John 1:9. Leviticus 17:14 and 17:11, actually. So anyway, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John 4, in verse 24, he says, God is spirit. and or a spirit. And he says spirit does not have flesh and bones. So we know what spirit is not, but we don't know what it really is. So when we talk about this issue of the human makeup, body, soul, and spirit, we're talking about the three aspects. In the trichotomous view, the soul and the spirit are separate. So one view within that is that the soul is in the form of spirit, and that they can, well, that's what it is. And if that's the case, we can see that they are, the terms are used in the Bible interchangeably. Soul and spirit are said to be, or implied to be, the same thing. So which is the right view? I really don't know what the right view is. Sometimes I lean towards dichotomy, and other times I lean towards trichotomy, but it doesn't really matter, the soul and the spirit. So can a Christian be possessed? Now some will say, well, the soul cannot be possessed, but the spirit of a man can be. Now that's not in the Bible. So there are those who teach that. I've actually encountered people who would say that when they get up in the morning, because they slept with their mouth open, that demons got in and they have to cough them up and cough them out out of their spirits, which is ludicrous, but the people have actually taught that. So we cannot be possessed by demonic forces. We are indwelt by the Lord God. Our souls are indwelt. Our spirits are indwelt. Our bodies are indwelt by the Lord God, those who have, of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. So that is basically that. So, any rate, if you think you see things around the house, ladies and gentlemen, and you want to look for doors, doors are spiritual doors, the kinds of doors that open up people to the occult, like someone gives you something that was used in occult ceremonies, or gave you a Ouija board to play with. That's an occult door. People can be praying for you in false religions, which can open up cultic things. You know, you've got to look for doors and see that they're closed. I don't have much time to get into all that because we're at the end of the hour. But you need to be praying, and there's nothing wrong with going through the house and just praying over everything and doing the ceremony of anointing everything with oil, all the walls and doors and windows and things, just very lightly. It doesn't matter what kind of oil. Just pray and do that. It takes a while, but you do that, and I think it's a good idea. It's a designation of trust and faith in the work of Christ. Hey, there's the music. May the Lord bless you. By His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and then we'll talk to you then. Okay. God bless everybody. We'll see you. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.